Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Stagey Queens. My name is Nathan Dean, I'm your host, and this week we have an interview with the spectacular Kirsty McLaren. I hope you enjoy. So I am here with Kirsty McLaren of Our Ladies of Perpetual Succor, Fiddler on the Roof, This Is My Family, and most notably of Netflix's The Crown. yeah. So how are you doing? How's lockdown going for you?
Yeah, it's actually okay. I'm managing to keep busy and still managing to kind of have a creative output as well, so that's always good. And yeah, just taking every day as it comes and kind of riding it out until we're all allowed to go back outside again and all the fun stuff.
So how are you managing to stay creative?
So I'm self-isolating with my boyfriend, who is also an actor. So he's a songwriter as well, so we're like doing little videos. We did one for the Other Palace Theatre, and we his dad's a composer of musical theatre, so he's writing songs and we're recording them for him, and we're just kind of getting through it. And
nice, that's yeah. So cool, that is really cool. So how did you get started in your career?
Oh, that's a long story. Taking it right back, neither of my parents were in theatre or acting. My dad was a bank manager and has now worked for the Church of Scotland, and my mum's a primary teacher. But we were always quite musical, so music was always a big part of our lives. But basically my mum needed to tire me out because I was a hyperactive child. So right. She just sent me to drama classes and dance classes, and turns out that I was quite good at it.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed it, which was the most important thing. And so I did a lot of Amdram growing up when I was very young, and then I got into the Dance School of Scotland.
Wow.
Which is a fully funded centre of excellence in Scotland. So you do your schooling there and you do musical theatre classes in my case.
Yeah.
And that kind of prepares you to go on to drama school when you leave. So I did that for 4 years, and then I went to the Royal Conservatoire in Glasgow. So I was really lucky that I was able to stay at home and save a bit of cash at the same time. But the course was just phenomenal. So I was the first year of the BA in musical theatre, and it was so unlike any other course that I'd auditioned for. It was so creative, and we all had to play instruments and write musicals, and we just got so much thrown at us. It was just wonderful. So I went there for 3 years, and I studied musical theatre and came out of drama school saying, I never want to be in another musical ever again. I want to be an actor. So I kind of went down that route and jobbed about for a bit, doing different shows. I worked at Pitlochry for a year, which is the festival theatre, which is a rep theatre. So you do six plays that run in rep over the summer. Mental, absolute madness. but that gave me a really good chance to do loads of different parts that I would never normally do. So like in the matinee, I was a little Scottish maid who was a little bit too cheeky with the older people. And then in the evening, I was Lady Agatha Lazenby in The Admirable Crichton. Mental. Fully corseted up and all that. It was great fun. And then I was lucky enough to get Our Ladies of Perpetual Succor.
Yeah.
After a bit of robbing about. And I was just... So my dream of... one of my goals as an actor was to work with National Theatre of Scotland.
Yeah.
And literally that was all that I wanted to do. I just loved the idea of working for your National Theatre and creating art in Scotland. And I was so lucky that I was able to get that role. And I actually came quite late into the process, so I wasn't in the original rounds of auditions. And then when I got that role, I thought, oh, brilliant, I've done one of my goals. Amazing. But then what that job gave me was the chance to cover a lot of career goals in one job.
I mean, it took you all over the world, right?
Yeah, all over the world. We worked at the National. We worked in the West End. We won an Olivier Award and were nominated for Best Supporting Actress.
Crazy.
Collectively. So it was one of those jobs that was just like, kept giving. And I was like, well, okay, well, I better find a new goal now. So that's when I kind of decided, right, I'm going to focus a bit on doing TV now. I've never done it before. Let's see what happens. So I spoke with my agent and we were like, yeah, let's do it. And yeah, I was really lucky to land my first TV job, which was The Crown, which was quite amazing. A good job for your first
year. That's so crazy.
Yeah, and that's kind of how I've got to here. And I've done, obviously, I did Fiddler on the Roof and then The Forever Nun, and then
At the Menier, not the West End version, right?
Yeah, so I was in a very odd and incredibly lucky position. This never happens for actors, that I got offered, This Is My Family at Chichester Festival Theatre. I got offered that at 6 o'clock one night. So I auditioned for it at 3:30.
Uh-huh.
I got offered it at 6 o'clock. And then I got offered the West End transfer of Fiddler on the Roof at 6:15.
Oh, no.
And I'm sitting there in the Menier and everyone's going crazy thinking, yeah, we've got a West End transfer. And I'm just thinking, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? This is a big decision. Because it was a choice of either playing the lead in a show at Festival Theatre at CFT, with an amazing company and really getting the chance to get my teeth into something because it was a massive part, or take a very extended West End run and be very comfortable for a good few months and be in a lot. I mean, honestly, Fiddler was one of the loveliest companies I'd ever worked in and I had the best time doing it. And I was like, oh my goodness, it was like Sophie's Choice. But in the end, I felt, well, I want to be an actor because A, I want to tell stories and B, I want to challenge myself. Mm-hmm. And I was like, right, I could stay comfortable or I could take a gamble and do something that's really going to push me. So that's why I went to Chichester.
Yeah, I mean, that paid off. I mean, it was a very successful show, sold out, right?
Yeah,
and sold out. So well reviewed.
Yeah, so much that I couldn't even get tickets for my agent.
Oh, it was
literally like, they couldn't get anything. No one could get any tickets.
Yeah, I was super lucky to get like a last minute ticket when it was starting to sell out. Yeah, it was really good. It was a really good show. Yeah, so that's really sick. So did you do Edinburgh Fringe with Our Ladies?
Yes, so we started at the Fringe and in Traverse.
Yeah.
And so the first time we did it, it was 2015. And we did the Fringe for a month. And then we did a small Scottish tour and we did a month in Newcastle. So it was a co-production with the Live Theatre. So we did it in this beautiful, the Live Theatre, I don't know if you know it, but it's almost like a cabaret space. It was so perfect for the show because it's tiny and everyone sits around tables. Yeah, so we think back to that and then you think the Duke of York's Theatre. It's like that.
Huge, tall.
Yeah, it's very, very different, but I think we found a way of somehow that show seemed to work
wherever
and anywhere we did it. Even with a language barrier slightly.
So who would you say your biggest inspiration is when you are performing on stage or film?
Goodness, I think it changes, to be honest. It tends to change with whoever I'm working with. I mean, I've been lucky enough to work with some amazing actors, so like when I did The Crown, it was literally all my scenes were with Helena Bonham Carter, so it was literally just me and her on set for a week because our scenes were quite intimate, the two of us, so I was able to like talk to her and ask her questions, and I kind of sneakily was said to her, we were getting our makeup done together one day, and I sort of turned around and went, by the way, this is my first time on a film set. And she was like, oh darling, you have to ask me everything. Ask all the questions. I was like, brilliant, thanks. So obviously Helena Bonham Carter, but also working with Sheila Hancock. I learned so much about how much work it is to be an actor and how important it is to your craft as an actor. I mean, Sheila would come in one day and do a scene or do a song in This Is My Family in rehearsal. And the director would talk to her and give her notes and stuff on it. And the next day she would come in and it would be like a totally different piece, because she'd gone home and she'd spent the time on it and she'd put the work in. And I think that I learned so much about how to put work in as an actor. I've been so lucky to work with amazing people.
Yeah, that's so crazy. what would you say your like best story you have is from working with so many different people and different companies?
Oh, there's too many. I mean, I'll never forget the day I started Fiddler on the Roof and they hadn't released the cast until the first day of rehearsals. So I literally had, I came down from Scotland that morning to start rehearsals, only because my best friend was getting married 2 days after I started. So I didn't officially move to London until after the wedding, because I was singing at the, no, reading at the wedding and playing and all that. So I came down that morning and I looked at the cast and what's on stage, and I'm just flicking through. I'm like, oh, don't know. Oh, Andy Nyman, I know him. And then Judy Kuhn popped up and I was like, wait, I'm working with Pocahontas? What?
Crazy.
Sorry, what? and one of the nicest women I've ever met. I'm trying to think. I mean, there's so many stories, and I remember coming backstage one day in Our Ladies and Andrew Lloyd Webber's sitting in our green room, just like...
Oh my goodness.
And things like this. You're just like, I mean, little Kirsty. I say little because I am still little. I will never grow. But 10-year-old Kirsty, who wanted to be in the stage, wanted to be Christine in Phantom at the time, could not have imagined this. So.
Wow, that's so crazy. And... did you know if any of like the ELO or Jeff Lynne came to see Our Ladies? Because I know that's like...
Yeah, I don't think they did. However, we did all get invited to their concert in Glasgow.
Oh, that's so sick.
Yeah, so we had a booth with a private chef and a...
Whoa.
And that was, I think that was from both the SECC, who we did the show in, and ELO sorted that. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, for those listening who don't actually know, Our Ladies is a play with music, and the music is mostly ELO kind of rock, but there's also choir, six-part harmony, Judy Zook, some great 90s tunes in there. Yeah. I don't really know how else to describe it. It's quite
amazing. As soon as you try and describe Our Ladies, you think, how on earth would that work?
Yeah. Yeah.
And you just see the C word a lot. I mean, how? How did that work?
So much.
Somehow it did.
Yeah. Catholic schoolgirls somehow doing magic mushroom cider. Crazy. Film adaptation, hopefully, soon.
Yeah.
Mental. So you have had such an amazing career so far. I mean, you're still going. You're amazing. It's an amazing career. But what's one role you'd like to play?
Oh my goodness. People ask me this all the time. And it's so hard because it changes from day to day.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously I want to follow in Karen Fishwick's footsteps and play Juliet. I think every young actress wants to do that.
And she was an amazing Juliet.
Yeah, she was fab. Oh my goodness. I don't know. It's so difficult. I think for me, it's not even about what role I want to play. It's just about doing really good work. Mm. And I'll get scripts in for my agent, and I'll just like for auditions and stuff. And I'll just be like, how on earth am I auditioning for this? This is like, a famous show. Yeah, it's just to keep doing good work and something that I can really get my teeth into and something that's a challenge, I think.
That's
Is
so cool. Yeah, that's great.
it?
Okay, so now I'd like to talk a bit about your favorite musical, Come From Away. So on the podcast, I, as well as talking to people about them and their careers and everything, I'd like to also kind of get some kind of musical theatre knowledge history kind of thing going on. So yeah, let's talk about Come From Away. What makes you choose Come From Away as your favorite musical?
It's just it was one of these shows that I came out as, first of all, it's the last show I saw before lockdown happened, so it's very fresh in my mind. But it's been a long time since I came out of the theatre and first of all was genuinely moved by something to the point of I have to get on my feet at the end of this. But it's also the first, certainly the first time in a long time, potentially ever, that I have come out of the theatre and gone, I really want to go right back in and watch that again. Because it was something about, first of all, the folk music, the story, the heartwarming story, the characters and how they interact with this massive thing that's happening in their lives.
Absolutely.
It was just everything about it was beautiful. It's the only way I can describe it. And the choreography, you don't even realize they're doing choreography for a while until you go, oh, wait a minute, that they're all doing that in unison. That's crazy. It's just oh, I just loved it. The performances, the actors were beautiful at their parts and everything was so integrated. It was such an ensemble piece, and I love ensemble theatre. I think there's nothing better than watching a company work together and watching a company create something. I think it's part of the reason why Our Ladies worked so well is because it was, a very much an ensemble piece. There was never, obviously each character had their moment, but there was never a point when
There's
it was
there's
like,
no main role.
yeah,
It's all
and
about
come
their
from.
stories individually, yeah.
Exactly, yeah. And Come From Away is very similar, I think, that you couldn't, that show wouldn't work if you'd won, if somebody wasn't there, that show wouldn't work. It had
Yeah,
to
they
be,
all play a part in each
yeah.
other.
And it's so simple, like the set was so simple, it was just literally 12 chairs or something.
Yeah, a couple tables,
Yeah,
bare
it just,
wood.
that's all you need.
Yeah, to make great theatre, yeah, you don't really need all that much. People think that West End theatre or West End musicals have to be big, flashy sets.
Yeah.
And yeah, one of my favourite things about Come From Away is how it kind of takes the mould of the West End musical. You've got your 42nd Streets and you've got your Frozens, and it breaks it down to its most simple form. And it works, it's gorgeous. So for the listeners who don't know, Come From Away is the true story of when 38 planes were diverted in the September 11th tragedy to a small community in Newfoundland, Canada. It opened on Broadway in 2016, 17, and transferred to the West End last year in 2019. I saw it just after it finished previews, and I was just blown away. I agree with everything you said. It's one of the most gorgeous. It's quite rare as well because it's so joyous yet tragic. There's kind of such a fine line in between the emotions that it's giving you.
It celebrates people, which is quite rare actually in certainly in musical theatre. I think more in straight theatre it's more common to find that, but it really celebrates good people and this human capacity to love and to have compassion.
Yeah, they are all real people. The characters are based on the true people that were involved in the planes, people that were stuck on the planes, and people that were in the community of Newfoundland. It's so gorgeous from its folk score. It kind of has an almost actor muso quality without it even being actor muso. But the musicians are involved throughout. They're all on stage, and like you said, like the choreography is so. It just feels like it's a whole part of it. like it's just a moving piece.
Yeah.
There's never really space to applaud or catch your breath in between the numbers. It kind of just keeps going. Yeah, I really, really enjoy Come From Away. Yeah. Thank you. Oh, yeah, so badly. It's so good. That'll be first thing when hopefully we reopen.
Well, yes, indeed. We will.
We will triumph. We always come back.
Yes. Leave a light on.
Leave a light on. It's just the interval. Yeah. Yes. So this has been an amazing interview with Kirsty McLaren. Thank you so much, Kirsty.
Thank you for having me.
No worries. It's been a pleasure. Thank you for being my first guest.
Yeah, loved
Thank
it.
You. Thank you. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Stagey Queens. I've been Nathan Dean. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Stagey Queens. And thank you so much to Kirsty McLaren for coming onto the podcast and agreeing to be interviewed. It means a lot. And thank you so much for listening. It really does mean the world to me. And I hope we will see you next week. Thank you so much. Goodbye.